Counts if this is the case of Rogers versus Jack's Supper Club. We've had a few technological problems, so please forgive us for that. We will begin by introducing members of the court. Justice Stacy is recused from this matter. And Justice Frydenberg has had some technological issues, so if he does not get back on the WebEx, he will be participating on the briefs. With that, I'm Mike Havokin, the Chief Justice, and the other members of the court on the case will introduce themselves by the order of their seniority on the court.
Good morning. This is Justice Lindsay Miller Lerman.
Good morning. William Castle.
Jeff Funk.
Jonathan Papik.
And counsel, Ms. Christensen, are you with us?
I am, yes.
Well, good morning to you. And Mr. Mitz, are you with us this morning?
I am, yes.
Thank you very much. So we're all here. Do either counsel have any questions before we begin?
I do not.
No, Your Honor.
And we may have a little bit of background noise, so not speaking, may, if you can, put your audio on mute. Very good. Christensen, good morning again. You may proceed.
Good morning. I would like to reserve 2 minutes for rebuttal, please.
You may.
Chief Justice, Your Honors, may it please the court. My name is Jenna Christensen with my co-counsel, Caroline Westerhold. We represent the appellants, Jack's Supper Club, and their insurer in relation to a workers' compensation claim filed by the appellee, Ms. Rogers. The errors that bring us to this court today are that the trial court erred when it awarded appellee with medical treatment without ever determining whether, under 48.120, that treatment was necessary, reasonable, or that it promoted any kind of healing. Part and parcel of that, because of contradictions between previous orders in this case, the compensation court further erred by failing to provide a well-reasoned basis for the court's decision under Rule 11 and pursuant to this court's reversal with remand. Our brief lays out the relevant factual background, but a few facts bear worth repeating for sake of the arguments today. When this case proceeded to trial, there was very clearly a dispute about the medical treatment from a doctor by the name of Dr. Deitch and his colleague, Dr. Frey, and whether that treatment was necessary, reasonable, or that it actually relieved appellee's pain under 48.120. Specifically, Dr. Deitch had been prescribing indefinite prescriptions of opioids, including Norco and Valium. After the trial court issued an order in January of 2018, that order was appealed to this court, and this court issued a reversal with remand in December of 2019. In reviewing this court's decision, there are a few important takeaways. While a large portion of that decision was in regards to a Form 50 issue, this court nonetheless determined that neither appellants nor this court could determine what the compensation court meant when it both ordered the appellee to continue treatment with Dr. Deitch, but the compensation court also expressed concerns about the opioids that Dr. Deitch continued to prescribe for Ms. Rogers. On remand, the compensation court issued essentially a two-paragraph order that appointed Dr. Deitch as the Form 50 provider moving forward and stated in part, quote, "It is up to Dr. Deitch to decide the appropriate method of care and treatment for plaintiff." And that was it.
Counsel, wasn't our opinion in the first appeal pretty clear that any medical treatment prior to the determination of a Rule 50 position would not be reimbursable?
That's correct. That was the crux of the Form 50 argument and whether or not, because of the Form 50, that prior treatment was compensable. I have a visitor. But the argument today is about the treatment going forward and whether or not under 48-120.
That's what I want to ask you about. When it went back on remand, there's no evidence about what the treatment might be under a Rule 50 regime. In other words, Doc, we have no evidence and we have no bill of exceptions from the proceedings on remand. The only bill of exceptions we have is the previous bill from before the first, during the first appeal. So aren't you taking an assumption that Dr. Deitch's prescription as a Rule 50 physician will be the same as it was before? There's literally no evidence in the record to support that assumption, is there?
Well, the issue is the compensation court issued an order on remand, and that order on remand essentially said it was up to Dr. Deitch to determine the treatment of care. But that was the exact issue that had brought the parties to the court, was to determine whether or not what treatment was necessary and reasonable, and in particular, whether the opioid treatment was necessary and reasonable. And so appellants read the compensation.
I'm not sure that you answered my question. What evidence is there in the record about what Dr. Deitch's prescription would be as a Rule 50 physician going forward?
Well, the only evidence was the evidence that was admitted at the original hearing, which resulted in the January 2018 order. There was no additional hearing when the issue was remanded to the compensation court.
And he was not the Rule 50 physician at that time, right?
He was not, no.
So you would at least agree that up until the date of the order on remand, whatever may have been incurred would not be the employer's responsibility.
That's correct. That's my understanding of what this court decided when it issued its opinion in December, is that anything prior to the order on remand, Dr. Deitch was not the Form 50 physician, and that treatment was not there for the responsibility of the defendant employer.
Do you feel that the trial court followed our mandate?
No, it is our position that the mandate or the order on remand should have determined under 48-120 what additional treatment it was ordering going in the future, and whether or not that treatment was necessary, reasonable, or that it relieved pain. And so it's our position today that the appellants were entitled to a well-reasoned decision, and that's not what we got.
What do you understand our initial opinion to have found lacking?
In the initial opinion, this court recognized that the compensation court both said that appellees should continue to treat with Dr. Deitch, but then in the next sentence said that it was expressing concerns about the very treatment that Dr. Deitch was prescribing. And so because of those inconsistencies and because of those contradictions, it was reversed and remanded for a more clear and well-reasoned opinion as to what it was ordering.
And what, if anything, did the compensation court say on remand about the statements that we found were in tension?
The compensation court addressed its prior indication that the parties should talk to Dr. Deitch, essentially saying that that was only advice, that wasn't something he was legally requiring. But then he just concluded by saying it's up to Dr. Deitch to determine the treatment going forward. And it's our position that essentially took the function of the court, which is to determine whether or not future care is necessary, reasonable, and that it relieves pain. And it put that function on a medical doctor who doesn't understand the legal requirements under 48-120.
At the proceedings following the remand, who had the burden, and the burden to do what?
Well, there was no hearing after the order on remand, and it became the judge's function to take the evidence he had been submitted and, based on this court's decision, determine whether or not, one, Dr. Deitch should be appointed as the Form 50 physician, and two, what treatment or what it was ordering in regards to future treatment. And so because the employee carried that first burden of proof, when the judge relooked at those facts and relooked at that evidence, it stills the employee's burden, so the appellee in this case, to show that she's entitled to future medical under 4120, which includes that she must show it's necessary, it's reasonable, and that it will relieve or hasten her return to employment. What was particularly concerning in this case to appellants is that the two orders were inconsistent. I see I'm out of time, and I would like to reserve the remainder of my time for rebuttal unless there are any additional questions.
Very good. Thank you very much, Ms. Christensen. Mr. Matonka, good morning to you.
Good morning. May it please the court, my name is Trevor Matonka, and I represent the appellee, Cheryl A. Rogers. As Ms. Christensen noted, this is a workers' compensation court, workers' compensation case, stemming from an injury on the job all the way back in 2001. This case has been in front of you before. You've issued an order and remand, and the compensation court has then issued their order upon remand. We posit that the compensation court did in fact comply with the order as the order was written, the remand as written. The remand itself asked two things. It asked for the compensation court to figure out the Rule 50 position situation, to figure out who the Dr. Daish was to be named Rule 50 or not, and whether that and to clear up the communications or the statements that he made in his order regarding the whole host of things regarding the positions.
Mr. Matonka, do you agree with your opponent, who answered my question in the affirmative, that any care that was provided up to the time when Dr. Daish was actually appointed as the Rule 50 physician would not be reimbursable by the employer?
I would say no, I don't, Your Honor. The Rule 50 determination was made very delayed to the care that she needed. She moved, Cheryl Rogers moved in 2009 to Florida, having no ability to seek care in Nebraska from Nebraska doctors. She had to have care in the meantime while the court proceedings were happening.
What evidence is there in our record now about care, if any, that was provided during the period of time between the trial that led to the first appeal and the present time, the date of appointment of the Rule 50 position, or for that matter, up to the time that we're here now? We don't have any record, any evidence in the record about any of that, do we?
No. You know.
So what basis would there be for us to say that even though Dr. Daish was not the Rule 50 physician until the order on remand, that nonetheless the employer would be responsible for reimbursing any treatment that was provided by him or his direction prior to the date of his appointment?
My response to that would be that it is equitable under the circumstances when the laws have so far not treated the situation of Mrs. Rogers in a way that was that could be predicted. Mrs. Rogers moved out of state and had no ability to seek Nebraska care like she had in the past with her previous physicians. That was a Rule 50 physician. That is my answer to that question. If you have any more, the compensation court's order on remand complied with the directions handed down by the court in its written order. The compensation court's subsequent written order assigns Dr. Daish as a Rule 50 physician as requested to be sorted out. and clearly explains that the comments regarding Mr. Rogers' treatment had been made to advise the parties to submit to Dr. Deitch's report and recommendations of the other physicians that the appellants had provided. Nowhere in the order was the compensation court instructed to specify whether the treatment Mrs. Rogers received from Dr. Deitch as necessary and reasonable. Nor is this part of the necessary compliance of Rule 11.
Mr. Matulka, I understand your opponent to argue or take the position that the course of treatment, particularly the prescription of opioids at the level that they're being prescribed, is not reasonable and necessary. Would you concede that going forward, if Dr. Deitch prescribes those opioids or prescribes any course of treatment, that the employer would have the ability to challenge that as not something that they're required to reimburse because it's not reasonable and necessary?
If they wanted to challenge that, then yes, I would concede that it's challengeable.
In a subsequent proceeding?
Yes.
Thank you.
The compensation court's order on remand complies with Rule 11 by providing a reasoned basis for its decision on both instructions that were sent down, which provides meaningful basis for appellate review. Appellants centered the majority of their argument on the fact that the compensation court, in its order on remand, did not determine whether Dr. Deitch's medical treatment plan was necessary or unreasonable. Appellants failed to recognize that this was not a directive from this court when it remanded this case back to the compensation court for a new order. Appellants cite a verbal comments made from the bench during the hearings in their briefs. Appellants proceed to treat these in-court statements with the same weight as they treat the compensation court's written order, going so far as to say that these are contradictory, implying the reduction in credibility of the compensation court's order on remand because it did not align with the in-court statement. An oral assertion from the bench is not a finding of fact or a holding. There exists no contradiction between either of the orders of the compensation court. Compensation court followed the instructions on remand clearly, stating that Dr. Deitch was to be the Rule 50 physician and that these were clarifying statements. The compensation court set forth clearly its reasoning, detailing that Dr. Deitch has treated the plaintiff for a number of years, and it is the plaintiff's desire to continue to receive treatment from Dr. Deitch in her home state of Florida, now 10 years after the fact, since she's lived in Nebraska. While appellants claim that the compensation court fails to provide a reasoned decision on the issues it was to address on remand, the reasoning for both of these decisions, the appointment of Dr. Deitch and the clarification of the statements previously made regarding an interview of Mrs. Rogers' treatment plan, was openly laid out in the written order on remand. Despite the appellant's assertions, the compensation court was under no legal obligation to find whether Dr. Deitch's treatment was reasonable and necessary because it was required neither under the instructions in the remand nor Rule 11 itself. When the record in the workers' compensation case represents conflicting medical testimony, an appellate court will not substitute its judgment for that of the compensation court. The trial judge is entitled to accept the opinions of one expert over another, according to Low v. Drivers Management Incorporated from this court. When testing the sufficiency of this evidence to support the findings of fact made by the compensation court judge, the evidence must be considered in the light most favorable to the successful party. The successful party will have the benefit of every inference reasonably deducible from the evidence via Olivato v. DeMarco Brothers Corporation. Sorry. So, there are two points to the order that this court handed down to the compensation court. It was fully complied with by the compensation court judge. He cleared up his statements that were made regarding the appellant's doctors with their own opinions, and he appointed the Rule 50 physician as requested. And that's all I have prepared, Your Honor.
Mr. Matulka, thank you very much. Do we have time for rebuttal? Yes. 1 minute and 51 seconds. Ms. Christensen, we'll give you 2 minutes.
Thank you, Your Honor. There's no question that the court's decision in December of 2019 determined that the appellants are not liable for any care prior to Dr. Deitch becoming the Form 50 doctor. The question now that the compensation court has found Dr. Deitch to be the Form 50 physician is whether or not the compensation court determined that future medical care is necessary, reasonable, and that it relieved pain. The issue is the compensation court on remand ordered, and I quote, it is up to Dr. Deitch to decide the appropriate method of care and treatment for plaintiff. This is the same treatment that the compensation court in its January of 2018 order said that the party should talk to Dr. Deitch about changing. It is inconsistent for the court to both award treatment while simultaneously requiring the parties to have a discussion with the doctor about changing that treatment. And so the issue is whether or not the court's most recent order on remand satisfies both Rule 11 and that it provides a well-informed and reasoned decision, and two, whether or not the compensation court made any findings under 48-120 about whether that care is reasonable, necessary, and that it relieves pain. If there are no further questions, the appellants rely on the arguments made in their briefs in response to whether or not the court acted outside of the scope of its authority on remand, and further notes that 48-120 clearly requires that the court make that determination, and the compensation court simply failed to do so. For those reasons, the appellants would ask this court to reverse and remand with instructions to enter, under Rule 11, a well-informed decision that directly addressed 48-120 and whether those three factors have been found. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And thank you both, counsel, for participating by WebEx. And that concludes arguments in Rogers versus Jack's Supper Club. So you are excused. And this also concludes the court's arguments for the day. So we are adjourned. Thank you.